Busy day, I take it.
Yeah, I've had better days.
Why and why now?
Well, I think for the why now is easier to answer, I guess. First off, when I was hired, I was asked to do a full evaluation of the organization top to bottom, including a review of past transactions, and that took, I told them it would take 2 months. In fact, it took a little more than that. It's about 75 days. And I submitted a report that's very far-reaching, very detailed in terms of analyzing drafts, trades, personnel decisions, and so on. And so that was just completed. I didn't start until right before training camp, so that was just completed in mid-November. And then we had an owners' meeting scheduled, and we wanted to do it as quickly as we could after we reached a decision, and certainly as far in advance of Christmas as possible. So this was the first chance we were able to do it.
Why,
just based on my conclusion that for us to move forward, we need to make this change. It's that simple.
I know you've known Jay for a long time, so we can all connect the dots in terms of how well you know him. But you did also say during the press conference, you and John Weisbrod, you weren't overly familiar. You didn't speak to him too much. Why the decision to relieve him?
Just some internal stuff. Again, the my tendency would be, as it always is, to tell the fans as much as I can. In a termination situation, it's hard to explain what you do without throwing dirt on people or throwing rocks at people, which I'm determined not to do. I would just say that John's management style is different than mine, and we don't see eye to eye on some things, that's all. So I'll leave it at that.
You obviously know the optics of this, given the way you were kind of hammered going into this situation. Was it tough for you to walk out to that room and do what you did today?
No. I mean, tough on a personal level on the basis that Jay's my friend. This is not, I don't care optics and how things smell and how they look. And this is about winning hockey games. And this is a change that I feel we need to make to do that. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if I'm applauded for it or saluted for it. I don't care if I'm second-guessed for it. I get paid to make decisions like this, and I made this one. So, no, it wasn't hard, other than being hard to let go a guy who is a good guy and has been a friend for a long time.
Yeah, obviously, and we recognize saying that this is a friend, and that's tough to do, and I think that we pointed it out earlier. One thing we also pointed out was the conversation that we had with you on the very day, September 5th, when you were announced as the president of hockey operations for this club. And I fully acknowledge that people evolve, but I want to play you the question from my co-host, Sid Sixero, and your answer to it and get your reaction to it, Brian, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You seem like a guy who wants control in most situations. The feeling with Feaster still in the mix is that it just seems like it's a duo that won't last very long, at least from my perspective. Why am I wrong?
Well, first off, I have a long time and long-term relationship with Jay. We've been friends for a long time, and I respect Jay. I think this model, if you will, this structure will work as long as both people are committed to making it work, as long as I don't want to be the GM, and as long as Jay can stand having someone that, you know, has some type of supervisory role or whatever. And so far, we've talked at length about it, and we're both excited about it. So I think it's going to work.
How does that sound now to you?
Well, it sounds like it did then. It was truthful then. That's the expectation was it would be able to work, and I've concluded it hasn't. I mean, this is after a very detailed analysis of what had gone on here and what we had here. So I'm sure one of you is thinking this is, aha, we got him, and I think it's garbage. I think it was a truthful answer then, and today circumstances are different. I've completed my investigation, if you will, and filed my report. This is it.
Is it just that you can't say at that point that I'm coming here and I'm gonna go over this process and see what I come up with? Is that because there's no aha, we got you. What I think it is it seems like double talk. Like when you walk in, here's what I can say, and then when you actually go through it, there's a different story altogether.
So if I had done this and concluded my, you know, my evaluation of the organization and extended Jay today, is it still double talk?
It's less juicy for us.
What you're looking for here is a motive and a victim and a witness statement and everything all wrapped up in one, with that this was the end game at the start, and it wasn't. The end game at the start was I told the team ownership group and Ken King, I said, look, I'm going to evaluate this thing. I'm going to be very blunt. You may not like it, but I'm going to evaluate every trade that's been made by this administration, every draft pick that's been made by this administration, and then go through the front office people, what you have that's deadwood and what you have that's not, what changes need to be made, and so on. And that's what led to today, that process. Had it led to a different result, I'd be just as happy if it said, well, we concluded everything's going swimmingly, and we're going to keep going.
Brian, are you prepared to be the GM of this team at the end of the season if you don't find the right candidate?
If that's, yeah, the answer is yes. Here's what complicates things, and this is a little nuance that most people don't know about, but you used to be able to compensate teams when you stole or hired away front office people or coaches. You're not allowed to do that anymore. So, for example, in Vancouver, I hired Mark Crawford as the coach. I gave up a second-round pick to Colorado because he was still under contract to them. In Anaheim, I gave up a second-round pick to sign Randy Carlyle to the Vancouver Canucks because he was under contract to them. You can't do that anymore. So what you do here is, if you're asking mid-season for permission, let's say I want to talk to, I can't pronounce Sid's last name, but let's say, how do you pronounce it, Sid?
Sixero. You're not the first, and you won't be the last, Brian. Don't worry.
Sixero, I can say that. So I call up the Toronto Maple Leafs and say, I want to interview Sid Sixero in December for the GM job or the assistant GM job.
Big mistake, but go ahead.
And so, you know, Dave Nona says, well, no, in December, no. If you give me a second-round pick, I might let him go, but I'm not letting you interview people mid-season. I don't know how many answers I'm going to get like that. And so if there was a guy that we felt was really a top candidate and had to wait till the end of the year, would we wait till the end of the year? Yes.
What will the next GM be like?
Share a little more of my commitment to black and blue hockey for sure. Not that Jay doesn't like black and blue hockey, but it's not the same priority, I don't think, for him as it is for me. And I don't like flag football. I like the real thing.
Is it easy to do that? Sounds like a tough task to make your team as truculent as you want them to be.
Well, it's easier than putting a skilled group together. You know, you can trade. Changing the bite on your team is easier than changing the top six and getting skilled players. Skilled players are hard to acquire. They're hard to come by. Teams are really selfish like that. It's really annoying. If they have guys with skill, they won't trade them. It's really selfish.